can study the Word of the Lord. Praise God. This Bible's alive. You look into the perfect law of liberty. I'm telling you, that'll liberate you. Amen. Looking into this book will liberate you. It'll set you free. Praise God. This Bible's alive. It's a powerful thing. I've told this illustration before. The Bible, it is a living book. I heard about an old boy one time wanted to shoot his daddy's shotgun. Y'all heard me tell that. And his daddy told him, said, it kicks awful hard. I don't think you can handle it, son. He said, well, I can do it. I can do it. He said, well, if you think you can, you better watch. It'll kick pretty hard. And he said, his dad watched him out the window. He got that shotgun, went out the back door, and he made the mistake of getting up on a log. And he shot, and it kicked. And, I mean, it kicked hard, and that log flew out from under him, and he flew back and threw the gun, hit his head on a root, and nearly knocked him crazy. His dad was watching him and said, the old boy got up and shook the stars out of his head. He looked over at that shotgun, got him a stick, and reached over and poked it. That's the way a lot of people are about this Bible, but there's enough power in this. I see people every now and then just standing back. That thing's alive, buddy. You read this book and you apply it to your life, it'll change you. It'll transform you. Amen. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Now, you people may not understand about, I've been teaching for 25 years, and I feel like that's God calls a pastor teacher, and I've been teaching out of the Bible for 25 years. I started in the book of Acts 25 years ago, and I went through Revelation, and I'm back to Matthew in 25 years. You say, you're the slowest preacher. Well, one thing is, y'all quit me about 11:30. You know, so you got to get to that buffet, get buffeted. But I'll tell you, when I get to studying the Bible, there's a sermon nearly in every word, and I found almost in between every word. This book is alive. And no exception today. Last Sunday, our lesson last Sunday was about, knowing to do good and doing it not. I mean, I didn't quote that verse, but that's what it could apply to. It's in Matthew 11, in verse 20. He began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. How many knows, amen, that if you're blessed, there's going to be more required of you? You've had the opportunity. You've had access. Come on now. I'll tell you what, people are not going to be excused. God said, I gave you all the creation. I've gave you all of these things. He said, my handiwork declares. It speaks. It utters. I mean, you could plug your ears. I've had people do that right in church while I was preaching. I've had them do that right there. You say, no. Oh, yes, I have. And that's some of the milder things they do. I've had them stick their tongue out at me while I preach. Yeah. Shake their head. No way. I'll tell you, it don't matter what you say about it. You cannot live in this world without seeing the witness of God Almighty. Amen. Paul said, thou art without excuse, O man. That's what he was saying to Chorazin and Capernaum. Half of the miracles nearly done was done in Capernaum here. And he said, you saw these mighty works and these miracles in the hand of God. And he said, it's going to be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon and for Sodom. He said, if Sodom, Leonard Ravenhill, I used to love to read his books. And Ravenhill had a book called Sodom Had No Bible. And what it was a book that was rebuking America for being so carnal and worldly. Amen. And saying Sodom, they were destroyed for their sins. And a lot of times you think sodomy was the only sin they committed, but it wasn't. Pride. You read the Bible, pride was one of the greatest sins of Sodom. Amen. Idleness was another great sin of Sodom. lovers of pleasure. Amen. That was sins of Sodom. Amen. And they were destroyed. And he said, but if Sodom had had your Bible, they would have repented. And here you are, you've got me, Jesus said, you've got me. I have proven myself to you through divine miracles and power, and I fulfill the scriptures that you have in your own hands. I fulfill Moses' writings and all the other prophets' writings, and you still reject me? He said, woe unto you. I'd say you could say that to America tonight. You listen to your news reports and you hear all the horrible crimes and sins that go on, and Christ is belittled and religion is mocked. I'm telling you what, America is in trouble. That's right. I'm going to go on. I'm not going to deal with this a lot today. We're just going to deal with some more scriptures here. But that's where we're going to start. It says, woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. I mean, those repentance is the key here to being right with God. And so it says, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, very prosperous, fruitful place here, and had Christ, shall be brought down to hell. You're exalted unto heaven, you shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. That is an awesome statement, amen, to make. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. I'm going to go on, but I want to tell you, does anybody besides this preacher feel a shiver go through your soul when you hear that verse? Well, I tell you, the old saying was, somebody walked across my grave. I when I read that, and I read the words in red letters, that tells me that how blessed we are, that our blessing merits some kind of behavior and action on our part. Raised in the house of God, have the word of the Lord in your hands. Are y'all helping me preach this morning? What is going to be required at your hand? How many knows that God has a requirement out of every one of us? You know, when Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices to the Lord, the modern day religion would have said God was being judgmental. He looked at the sacrifice of Abel, which was the lamb or the blood of an animal that died, and then he looked at the sacrifice of Cain. Cain brought the fruit of the ground that, you know, had no life in it, no blood, no sacrifice of that nature. He just brought of his fruit of the ground. I pay my tithes. That's probably what he said. Huh? You know what the Lord said? How many know? Listen, I'm going to preach to you. We're going to be done. How many knows that Cain was rejected? A reject. Didn't pass the scrutiny. Did not measure up. Was not pleasing to God. Now, how many knows that our lives could be in the same shape? Somebody's got the idea and they propagate the doctrine that Christ died for you. That seals the deal. All you got to do is just accept that, and that's all there is to it. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. You've got, the Bible said that we must present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and... Brother, hey, come on. Yeah, I know. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I ain't got no trouble with God accepting me. It's you, preacher. Oh, I've heard that before. But I'm going to tell you something. If God's word is not putting approval on you, you're not approved. Huh? Am I I preaching right or not? Hey, that's what we need to. Come on now. I said, that's what we need. The Bible said, let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. And you know, this is acceptance. Amen. He said, hey, I have been in your presence. You know, it is a dangerous thing, and I hope you don't misunderstand me, but it is a dangerous thing, amen, for the Spirit of the Lord, amen, to be in our midst and us not entertain it and us reject it and us treat it with irreverence. Am I right or not? What about living in America? Let's just start right there. What about living in America? All my life I have realized what a blessing it was. When I was able to hear and listen and read, and I realized the poverty in other countries, and you know, really, how many appreciates living in a democracy or a representative government where you can go to the ballot box? Hey, I have voted ever since I was 18 years old. And I go, my dad, it was just, he did that, and he put that in me. You know, you got to do that. He almost made me feel like that if I wasn't a citizen if I didn't do that. And so here I went out there, and he tried to tell me how to vote too. I'll just tell you that right there. Huh? And I'd go out there, and I have never been out there where I had to worry about a car bomb, an assassin, or somebody threatening my life. Amen. I appreciate that. Amen. I live in a country where you can go to church if you want to, or stay home if you want to. I mean, how many thinks that's a blessing? You may get this wrong. I think it is a blessing to have a country where if you don't want to go, you don't have to. You say, what? Yeah. Mandatory religion wouldn't be no good, would it? Huh? Would it? It wouldn't be no good. Amen. But I'll tell you, to have the freedom, to live in the freedom, all right? Now that we're Americans and we've got access and freedom to do all these things, hey, we live in a great country, amen. And really, I know the things have changed, and you know the work situation. When I was a boy, there wasn't no Sunday working, very, very rare. They just didn't do it. Now things are all, I know that. But I'll tell you what, when you can go to church and folks just don't want to go, and then somewhere behind the bamboo curtain, there are folks risking their life to go in a basement of an old building to have church, or go out in the woods where nobody can see them to have church and risk their life, and we won't even go to save our life. I hear God saying, America, if the great things have been done, amen, and wherever that is done in you, they had repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. I wonder, amen, I know I'm repeating myself here, amen, but I want to ask us, are we living up to our privilege? I wish I was a preacher today. All right, that's enough of that. I'm going to move on a little bit. But I want to ask you, whom much is given, much is required. How many feels like you had much give to you? Huh? Do you? No, I ain't talking monetarily. I'm not talking about dollars and cents, credit cards and rubles. Huh? I'm talking about, amen, life and health and breath. Amen. And really, America is very prosperous. The poorest people in America. I think the poverty level in America is $22,000 a year. Did you hear what I said? I think that's the term. They count this new administration, when they're looking at who's in poverty, it's anybody who makes less than $22,000 a year. Now, I'm going to tell you something. $22,000 a year to somebody in Nigeria would seem like that'd be a whole lifetime of money for them. Y'all don't want to hear this, do you? Huh? I tell you what, I think there ought to be some praise in this house. Huh? I said there ought to be some praise in this house right here. That's right. And most of us was raised different than what we're living right now, weren't we? Yeah, it was beans and taters, taters and beans. And I like them, still like them. Praise God. And a good old pound of cornbread, a man just put a crown on your head. Hallelujah. You're a king for a day. But I'll tell you what, God has blessed us. Amen. And I'll tell you what we ought to do. We, our little kids growing up, God bless their hearts. They grow up. I mean, they feel like, I mean, it ain't no wonder. I mean, it ain't no wonder. Little young, you know, born, just born, and comes out, and they wrap them in a nice warm blanket, put them under bright lights, and they look, and here's a window full of people with their nose pushed up to the window. Grandmas and grandpas and parents looking in there. Oh, that's the best looking. And they're laying there, no teeth, no hair, all greasy in the head, screaming their lungs out, and the little old spindly legs. That is beautiful. Huh? Yeah. And that little kid looks over at that window and sees that, and here comes the news press slashing the pictures, you know, and just made a bit. And then all their life, we bow to them. Oh, yeah. Oh, mighty baby. Huh? Oh, yeah. Ain't that right? They grow up thinking that they created the wind. Spoiled, rotten, got everything in the world that they want. And come on now. But don't you think, really, really, to do them justice and do them right, you know, a little kid around the house, I'm telling you what, they ought to get up and do something, hadn't they? Am I telling you right or not? And you know why they ought to get up and do something? It's because they owe it for the blessings that they have got involuntarily handed into their hand. They owe humanity a service. What's quiet in here? I may have somebody in here now that thinks that the world owes them a favor. No, you're the one in debt, neighbor. You owe. Huh? That's right. And you see somebody down and out, and somebody broke down, somebody hurting, somebody needing something, you owe it to humankind to help them if you can at all. And if you don't, you ain't got it, is all I can say. Brother Jeff, look out there what I got to contend with. Look at them frowns on them faces. How would you like to do this today? You want to finish this out here? I'm telling you, I almost get intimidated looking at y'all's scornful faces. Amen, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm telling you the truth anyhow. God has blessed us. I said God has blessed us, and we owe it to society to stand up on our own two feet and carry our own weight. Don't we do it? Huh? Oh, I feel like preaching to you a little. Hey, man, Capernaum, woe unto you. You ought to be living better than you're living with the opportunity you've got. And I want to say that to you this morning. If you don't get a hold of this, it's going to be woe unto you after a while. Huh? You ever see somebody grow up thinking the world owes them a favor? They're bitter as gall. Bitter. Life's not fair. Huh? Bitter. I'll tell you what, when we finally get to realize how blessed we are, it'll motivate us to be of service to someone else. Will it or not? Come on now, church. Will somebody say amen here? Now our lesson changes right here a little, and I'm tempted to wait on it, but I've spent too much time on this. I thought we needed to get this. You know, the Bible said for him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him and his sin. And, you know, a lot of times we think of doing good, we think of, you know, waiting on the widow's houses or whatever, but that ain't the good, really, that context of that scripture. Doing good is living what God said live. The book. Amen. And I want to, let's move on. Let me read you the rest of the, I might finish down to verse 28. But listen to this. And at this time, Jesus answered and said, now I want you to notice how it said that. And it don't look like really there's a question asked here, but really there is a question. Culture and society is asking, and Jesus is the answer. How many knows that Christ answers every question? He is the wisdom of God, incarnate, wisdom of God. Those Pharisees many times tried to trap him so that they can get him in trouble. They got John's head cut off because he preached against Herod having his brother's wife. And so they tried to trap Jesus with the same subject because they'd have loved to seen him die the same death. But Christ was wise, and he had preeminence over these Pharisees. Now he answers them, and he says this, and I love this right here. I'm going to close with this. But he says, I think, and this is what this the Bible says is an answer. I want you to listen to this prayer as an answer to these Pharisees' attitude. He says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. What things we're talking about? We're talking about the teachings of the kingdom, the teachings of God. He said, you have hid them to the wise and prudent, which I guess would be the Pharisees and the scribes and lawyers. But they're not hid completely. You hid them from the wise and the prudent, but you have revealed them. Are y'all looking at it? To what? To babes. Oh, hallelujah. I love this right here. I know. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. But I love the simplicity of the gospel. Do you love that? I'm glad that an old boy like me, just an old boy jerked up, went to jewelry school. Huh? I'm glad that God, I could find the Lord. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not glorying in ignorance. I'm not saying that you glory in ignorance. I think everybody ought to learn as much as they can their capacity and ability. But knowledge puffeth up. Charity edifying. But he said, I did not reveal this. Amen. How many knows the Bible said that many professing themselves to be wise became fools? You know, it's not just intellect. Intellect without spirituality is just a pain. I mean, it's not right. But I'm going to tell you, amen, he said, God has not revealed this to the wise and prudent, the deep things of God, but he has revealed them to babes. Now, how many knows the babes he was talking about was not, amen, he was talking about those disciples and the common man that was listening, the poor would have the gospel preached to them. And he was talking about those that have the spirit, as we've already mentioned, of a child. Must become as a little child, or they not inherit. That simplicity of believing the words of the Lord and who Christ really is. And so I love this, and God give me a grace to preach it to you. But I want you to listen to what he said. He said he has revealed them, amen, that has hid these things from the wise, but you have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me, Christ talking about himself, of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Huh? I want you to, now this may be too great for me to tell. Amen. Christ is on earth, and he is, Philip asked the Lord, and you remember reading, was it John 14, where Philip said, Lord, he was just in a panic, you know, wringing his hands. Lord, show us the Father and it'll suffice us. We'll be happy if you just show us the Father. I'm just, their faith was like ours sometimes. And they just, you know, Thomas, you know how Thomas was. He said, I got to see it for myself. I got to put my hand in the side. I got to touch the scars. Oh, I wish I was a preacher this morning. Hey, man, how many know? Listen to me. Hey, man, we do not have to stumble through life. Hey, man, just hoping. Hey, man, we can believe God. Hey, man, and God, the Bible said that the Son will reveal the Father to them that he will. Hey, man, how many is glad to know, hey, man, that the mystery has been sin solved, amen, in the New Testament dispensation. Can you say amen? They came running and they said, come and see, amen, the Messiah. Amen. We have found him. Amen. That's right. We have found the Messiah. Amen. Yes, sir. It is deep and it's a mystery, but God has so ordained through his Son to reveal unto us the Father. Can somebody say amen? Aren't you glad you can know God Almighty through his Son this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, my. I wish I was a preacher today. Won't y'all pray about that? Hallelujah. Listen to this right here. I'm about done for the day. All things are delivered unto me by my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, which if you could even say that, is that next verse. He told these Jews that had rejected the kingdom of God, these Pharisees that had rejected the kingdom. Now, I want you to notice the transition right here in that next verse. And I've seen this all, when I was a little boy. There was a plaque in mom's kitchen with this verse on it. And it said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Huh? Come unto me, all you. Hey, is that, amen, the kingdom of God? Is that the grace dispensation that Christ introduced? You reject me, but look, I'm going to open this up to whosoever will. Let him come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Amen. And I will get, there's a burden, heavy laden. Does that fit the bill with anybody in here this morning? Amen. I will talk about this more another day. I don't want to wear you out this morning. Amen. But I'll tell you, aren't you glad that Christ came to reveal the Father in him? Amen. Jesus looked at Philip and he said, Philip, have you been this long with me and you don't know who I am? Amen. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. That's right. Amen. We are two. We're not the same one, but we are in such perfect unity. Amen. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I have come from the Father. I do those things he tells me to do. Amen. Help me now. Amen. I want to know, has he been revealed to you? Amen. People go to church and they're not happy. But brother, if they find the Lord, amen, they're going to find the happiness they're looking for. He said, I come. He said, who I reveal. Aren't you glad the Lord takes the scales off our eyes and allows us to recognize him? Oh, come on, church. Amen. Those men on the way to Emmaus, amen, sat down, and when he broke bread, and I don't know when the scales fell off, amen, but I'd love for somebody in this house this morning, amen, to get their vision. Amen. You sat down, he broke the bread, but brother, if you could see who he really is, that it's the Savior that died and rose again. Hallelujah. Those men said, did our heart not burn within us? There's an old Scottish preacher that I like to read at, George MacDonald. He said this one time, it stuck to me, I'll never forget it. He said, every man has a secret staircase within his inner man. And there's only one person that knows where it's at. And that's the Master. And when you hear footsteps on that staircase, you know it's him. You understand? Amen. I would the Lord would reveal to you, amen, that Christ, when he broke, I don't know what it was, Brother Zane, that the breaking of that bread that opened their eyes. I don't know if it was the act of the breaking of the bread or if it was just the will of God to let them fall at that time. I don't know when they handed that over that they saw the nail print in his hands. It's still there, you know. Huh? I don't know if it was the prayer he prayed when he blessed it. They'd heard that blessing so many times that it just something But the eyes were open. I would this morning. You talk about feeling like you've been to church this morning. Amen. As if your eyes could be opened. Amen. And you know who it was. Those Pharisees' eyes were darkened. They could not see. Amen. And Christ told them he's going to reveal it to the babes. Amen. Come on now. Amen. You're in here. You say, I don't know if I could ever be. Amen. Like you, preacher, or like somebody. Amen. That's not God's plan. He wants you to be you, and he wants you to see him for who he really is and experience him as your Savior. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand. God bless you. I jump here and there, but maybe you caught a little something out of that.